Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I want to continue and hopefully finish today in our conversation we started a few weeks ago. This past week, we had a wonderful Father's Day Sunday service, and I just want to thank the Lord for every one of our men, which will allow me this little moment to announce that this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning at my home, if you have never been there, you have your home there, speak to one of our leadership here at church. They will give you my address. We're having our very first men's meeting breakfast at my place this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock. And we are expecting, we're not asking, we're expecting every man of God that is within the reach of the sound of my voice this morning to please be there. We're going to have a great time. We won't take too much of your time, but we will have a nice breakfast prepared for you and also a nice time of conversation and encouragement in the Lord. How many know that our guys need encouragement in the Lord? I know that all the ladies should be saying amen really nice and loud. So ladies, encourage your guys to get up in the morning and get ready and tell them to miss that golf course appointment they have and tell them to go meet with Jesus. It's much more important. So we want to invite you to be with us this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock. Please speak to one of our guys. They'll give you our address. We'll have it in the back as well at the end of our service. A few weeks ago, I began to speak to you on the subject of what of my faith? What of my faith? And the objective of this conversation, devotion, sermon, whatever you may want to call this, is to hopefully focus our hearts once again on the importance of the very foundation on which we stand in our walk with God. Faith is the most important thing, one of the most important things and elements in our lives as we live our lives for Jesus. Everything found in the book of life that we have received of the Lord, the Bible, we find that all these things, things received, things offered, things asked for, things rejected, all these things, the whole experience of God in our lives is based on the foundation of our faith. Now, we speak a lot of faith and we always encourage people to have faith, but we never really take time to dig into what genuine and good effective faith is. And this is what the objective of this conversation is all about. It's to get us to that place, ladies and gentlemen, as I asked you before, and I'm going to rephrase because this will be the last time that we speak about this, at least on this subject for this season. We asked each other about petitions, and all of us have petitions. We asked of how many of us have been praying that God would answer our petitions, and everyone had a show of hands. How many of us are waiting for petitions to be answered? And again, we had a wonderful showing of hands. We even asked how many want us to receive the answer of our petitions as quick as possible, and we had another show of hands. But we asked the challenging question, which we addressed, have been addressing, is how many of us have taken time to the kind of faith that we offer God? As we ask for an effective move, or we ask for the move of God in our lives, and if we know that things move by faith according to Scripture, if something isn't moving, wouldn't it be proper for us to examine what kind of faith we're offering the Lord? I'll say this way from the beginning, and I'll say it again as we continue. I do not want to be the problem for unanswered prayer. Did you understand what I say? What I said? I do not want to be in the way of answered prayer. I don't want to hinder God's hand from working in my life when I've asked Him for things or I have petitioned Him for things to be in the way or be the reason why God has not responded. It's easy to demand things from God, but have we ever stopped to think and consider how we have asked God, and is it agreeable to God, not only what we ask for, but how we ask for it? I think it's a very important question. I think it's only fair for us, the recipients of that answered prayer, to ask and question ourselves, not blame it all on God. If it's not happening, then it must be God. If God isn't responding, it must be God. If he's slow to act upon it, it must be God. No, what about if we ask, it could be me? It could be me. I think that's a challenging question. Not everybody wants to put themselves on the trial chair or on the questioning chair, if you will. But I believe it's wise for us to ask and to look at the kind of faith that we offer the Lord. And I've only simply offered you three or four simple principles that may not sound so divine to you, so deeply theological, almost more practical, but yet as simple as they are easily overlooked and never looked into. We looked at the people in Hebrews chapter 11, which was our initiating passage of choice. That's where we started reading a few weeks ago. And we found out how these people, some people call this the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, because in this chapter you find name after name after name of patriarchs and people that walk with God, who not only asked God for things or went through things as in their walk with God, but received great responses from God in their lives. All the way from the shutting of a lion's mouth to the receiving again of their dead, to the Jesus completely destroying the ambience of a funeral by waking somebody up. God delivering, protecting, defending, prospering, all these things we find in this 11th chapter. That's the kind of faith I believe that all of us should yearn for. There is the best kind of prayer, and the best kind of prayer in my book is answered prayer. Amen? And to me, there is only one really, really good kind of faith. Just one. And that is a faith that moves the hand of God. Isn't that the best kind of faith anyone would want? The kind of faith that would stir and motivate the hand of God to move in our favor. The whole world speaks of faith. But of all the faith that the world has, there are only a few who have the kind of faith that will move the hand of God. And the Lord has compiled a list of people here in Hebrews chapter 11 for us to read about. And they are spoken more about in detail in the scriptures, but we have a synopsis here. We have a compilement of people here that he brings together just to prove to us that faith is awesome and faith can be truly, should be the greatest desire of our lives, because it's the venue, it's the vehicle by which God has his communication and intercourse with his people. So I don't want to be in the way of God answering my prayer. As a matter of fact, I want to go a step further and tell you I want to learn what it is that could get in the way of my faith that could stop God from responding to my prayer. The first thing that we spoke about, and I'll try to be brief for the sake of time. You've heard me say that a million times already. But we spoke about the wrestle with our personal logic. Of how simple it is for us to not only pray and petition God, but because we are such a creative people and we are a people of many solutions, we tend to mix up our faith in God with our own answer for God. I won't spend too much time on this, just simply to remind you, those of you who have been coming to church and listening to this message, you'll find that it's so true. I suffer of that illness myself at times. God has blessed every single one of us with a creative mind and thoughtfulness. We have so many educated people here. Everyone here is so creative and able to provide and solution things in their lives. We do that a lot on a daily basis without conversing or speaking to anybody about our issues. You'll find out about things that people went through at the end of things. I went through this, and what happened? Well, I fixed it this way. Well, you know, my family and I were going through this kind of situation. And what did you do? Well, we figured out that this would help us, so we fixed it this way. We are a people of many solutions. And you stop it. The way you derive those is you stop and you think of what's more beneficial concerning the issue, and you apply it. And it becomes such a simple practice for us, such a casual thing, that even when we pray to God and we offer Him a prayer of faith, We not only present our petition to God, but we also give Him the solution. How many know what I'm talking about? Father, I need this. If you could just do this, it'll work. Right? Oh, Lord, we've been praying for this. And Lord, can you just make it work this way? If you just speak to Him and get that in line, get the ducks in a row, and Lord, you got it. So now God goes, "Whoa, I'm so glad you told me. Got me by surprise. I had no idea what I was going to do, but thanks a lot." But we tend to do that. So I ask you, when you speak of faith, when you're sure of things and you have the conviction of things, things that you don't see, and a conviction that tells you possess it in that faith, would you suggest and maybe say that the kind of faith that offers God not only the petition but the answer, is that really faith? I don't know how it can be faith. To have faith is to trust somebody to handle it the way they desire to handle it. And so we find in Scripture over and over concerning this particular position that we sometimes take, the Lord is always trying to teach us of how much higher and better His ideas are versus ours. How many can agree that the Lord is much greater than we are? Amen. How many know that the Scripture teaches us that His thoughts are not like our thoughts? That He, when He needed some counseling, or if He wanted any kind of counseling, He would never come to us. If He needed any kind of advice, should the Lord, by some reason, He would think, "I need advice," do you think He would come to such a limited humanity as you and I? No. So is it possible for us to offer God the solution to our petition and then say, "Oh, He's a God of the impossibles," or "My God can do all things"? Well, He might be able to do all things if you tell Him how to do them. It's not faith at all. And so we need to be careful. What we're trying to do is we're trying to uncover those things that can sometimes come and soil that which is genuine. Something that's real. Something that's not hypocritical. It's kind of you going to a friend and say, "Would you fix this?" And you go like, "Yeah, how?" Like this. And that person you've asked is going like, "Well, you already did it. Why are you asking me?" And I know it's a simple, elementary little analogy there, but it's that simple and that childish to suggest that God can do all things and not trust Him to do anything. And yet we want a faith that shuts the mouths of lions. Yet we want the faith of Abraham. We want the faith of Daniel. We want the faith of Moses. We want the faith of all these guys, these ladies in Scripture that we're able to experience great exploits from God. See, the Lord will share His glory with no man. And what we need to learn how to do as a people, and I believe that this goes for all of us, that if we're going to petition God in faith, then let Him figure it out. Let Him figure it out. And that's hard to do. See, some of us are going like, "Well, I know that." Well, to know that and to do that, two totally different stories. Because you have trouble keeping your hands off of stuff you need done. Oh, that's a good place to say amen. Amen. We have trouble keeping our hands off what we want done. We want God to do something, yet our hands are all over it. And God says, I'm not going to touch it until you let it go. Render your heart, not your garments. Be still and know that I am God. Get your hands off this stuff. If you're going to trust me, let me take care of it. That demands a lot of self-control. It calls it, it speaks loudly to us of being a people of self-dominion, of knowing how to control ourselves. When we pray and you kneel before God, you say, Lord, I need this, to actually learn how to get up, rested in your spirit, and say, I left it to God. I said when we talked last, a couple of weeks ago, that's where that peace that surpasses all understanding comes from. Some of us never will experience that peace that surpasses all understanding because we cannot get our hands off of the things we're asking for. God expects us to bend our knee and say, Lord, this is what I got and this is what I need. Father, I give it to you, and get up and go, it's not in my hands anymore. And you walk off light from the burden. It wasn't it somebody in scripture that you know, he said, cast your cares upon me. Who was it that said that? Somebody answer. Jesus. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. One of the reasons that we grow hunchback and tired and exhausted is because we keep carrying that which we profess to lay down. We keep carrying the loads and the bags of stuff that we profess. What did you do, brother? Well, I went to the altar and I left it all there. So what's all the luggage in your hand? Well, I mean, I got to do some of it. Or I got to carry some of it. When Jesus said, cast your cares upon me. If you believe that I'm able, then trust me. Find peace. If you're tired and heavy laden, come to me, for my yoke is light and easy. That's where the Lord wants us to live our lives. And that's what true faith will get you. When you can learn to leave things to God and stop thinking of how he's going to do it, because that's what got you in the worrying state to start off with, that you couldn't figure it out. Let him figure it out. Learn to trust him. Offer him a genuine faith and find rest for yourself. That's when people can sleep. Sometimes we're staying up at 4 o'clock in the morning because we're worried. Mind you, you already prayed about it. You're burdened. You're upset. You're moody. You're going through all these things in your life, but you already prayed unto the Lord about it. So I ask you again, is that faith? Is that the proof of faith? Wouldn't you easier define faith in someone who's smiling through the worst news they've ever gotten? You go, aren't you worried? Well, I was a little while ago, but I gave it to Jesus. How are you doing now? I'm feeling great right now. I gave it to Jesus. Whatever goes on is in his hands. I can't carry that load. He said I should give it to him, and he's taking care of it. The second thing is to learn that if you're going to give things to God in faith, in prayer, to learn and let him handle it in his time. You and I know, and I'll again, we have this very, very, it comes up upon us and through us, and it flows through us very easily and with good reason, because everyone, when you ask for something from God, you obviously desire quick relief, right? Why do you take a Tylenol? I've got this headache. Well, if you take the Tylenol knowing that it's going to work next week, there's no quick solution to that, is there? That's going to frustrate you. What's happening? Well, I have this terrible pain. Well, take a Tylenol. And when will it go away? Well, probably by June it should start going away. Nobody wants anything like that. So when you ask for a petition, you want God to respond immediately. But what happens, ladies and gentlemen, to us when he doesn't? That's the key. That's what you want to challenge yourself to think about. What happens to your faith? What happens to your trust? What happens to your joy? What happens to your coming to church? What happens to your reading life? What happens to your fasting life? What happens to your testifying life when God doesn't answer when you see fit? Has to do with faith. It has to do with faith. Would you call it genuine and true faith when you say, Lord, do this, but do it now? And if God says no, we spoke about Mary and Martha. Remember Lazarus? Anybody remember that? Amen. Their brother was dying. He was sick. So they sent word to Jesus. He's out there in Bethany preaching, doing something. But he was busy doing something, and they sent word to him. And they would expect him because, remember, they reminded him as if to massage his heart. Lazarus, the one you love. Trying to lasso the old heart, make it weigh something for Jesus. Motivate him to consider doing what he's doing or turn around because they laid it on heavy that he needs to go and attend this issue now. But what did Jesus do? He tarried there more days. And you know the story without going through it. You know the story. By the time he got to the place, everybody was angry at him. Everybody was upset how he handled the situation and how late he was to respond to the very much needed petition. Hey, what's going on? Well, what do you mean what's going on? If you had been here, nothing of this would have happened. And everybody was upset. They disagreed on how he handled the Lazarus issue. But see, this people forgot, and this is something we forget also. Something in between that conversation, between those who gave Jesus the message, he said, don't worry about it. It's not for death. This is to give glory to the Father. Remember he told them that? You know what he reminded of them? He said, you've been given a word. I spoke to you and I gave you a word. That right there should have brought them peace. He's not going to die. It's all good? Good. Let's keep doing what we were doing. But that's not what happened. They didn't hear the word right. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, what frustrates us as Christians is that we forget that we're a people of covenant. Come on, church, listen to me. We are a people of promise. How many have received the promise of the Lord? How many know the promises of the Lord? How many know that God has spoken promises on your behalf? Really, is that the response? How many of us know that we are a people of covenant? Do you not know that God expects you to trust Him as such? God has given you a word. God has spoken to you about healing. He has spoken to you about provision. He has spoken to you about protection. He has spoken to you about joy. He has spoken to you about life in general. Everything, you have a promise. So when God reminds you of it, you're supposed to find rest because you're convicted in your heart to know that He is a word of truth. So when they told Him about Lazarus dying, he's sick, He said He won't die. That should have brought them peace because they were worried that if He would not get there on time, He would indeed die. But He said He won't. Sometimes it takes a little bit more, ladies and gentlemen, sadly enough, for us to really believe God and His word. This is why there is so much unrest in our hearts. This is why there's so much sadness, sometimes so much anxiety in our lives. Because we forget how true His word is. They wanted Him to respond now, but Jesus said, you have all the time in the world. You have all my time. If I don't worry about it. It's done. But they couldn't handle that. And everybody along the way, you remember them walking back. He goes, well, He's going to go back. Let's all go back and we'll just all die with Lazarus. Mary and Martha received in the same way. Had you been here, nothing would have this would happen. He reminded them, kind of shaking his hand. He going, I'm glad I wasn't here. And then they try to be religious with him and say, you know, your brother will rise again. Well, I know that. And the resurrection, He's going to come back. They wanted to be Christian, knowledgeable of God's word. But they missed the whole thing. He said, hold on. What are you talking about? I'm standing right here. I am the truth of life. I am the resurrection. This is for now. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, will take us to that present promise that brings present peace. Because of knowledge, not because you see it with your eyes. What does that do to our faith many times when God doesn't respond to us when we want Him to or not fast enough? Well, I can tell you, by witness of many, I've seen many people disappointed. I've seen many people completely disappointed. And I've been seen many people even walk away from God. Why? Because God did not answer when we thought He should. That's maturity. It's called maturity. God wants us to grow in our faith. To offer Him genuine faith would mean not to offer Him the answers, but to trust Him for His answers. Not to give Him what time we expect Him to do it, but to trust that He will do it in due time. There's a difference. Are you following me this morning? And I will offer you one more principle this morning and we're done. This is very important. We can gloss over this whole idea as well, and many do. But something that can really taint the genuineness of your faith is listening to the wrong counsel. Listen very carefully. By listening to the wrong counsel, the wrong advice, the wrong word. Mark 4:21. Are you still with me this morning? Okay. I'm telling you, if you pray, you're going to see God move in your life. Mark 4:21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." Verse 23. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 24. Key words that Jesus uses here. "Consider carefully what you hear." Consider carefully what you hear, for with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. We use that a lot for offerings, and you want God to bless you, well, the measure of your giving, God. But here we can apply this and make it to understand and teach us that the way you perceive things in your heart, the way you establish things as truth inside of you, will either build you up, but it's going to bring you fruit. The measure by which you receive that information is going to produce for you something in your life. It can either prosper you or it can crush you. What this passage is implementing or implying to us, rather, is to pay attention to what you hear, to look at it, to listen to it, to think about it, and to carefully filter it through serious consideration before you accept it as gospel. It's very true. Very true. To be mindful, to be alert, watchful, aware, conscious of what you are listening to. I've told you many, many, and many times again in the past 30 years that I've been with you. Don't take my word for it. Look through the scriptures. Make it bear witness to you. If it is written, believe it. If it's not, throw it away. But yet people pay very little attention to what they allow their ears to hear. We live in a world of information. Somebody say amen. Yes, we do. We live in a world of communication today. Never in history have you been able to say something right now as I'm speaking and this information get all the way around the world at the live moment. Could be somebody listening around the world to my very word with very little time lapse. Information is going out everywhere. Turn on the radio, there's information. Social media, everyone is feeding you information. There are churches and circles of faith all over the world. Pulpits filled with people of all walks in life. All us giving you information. And millions by the millions and millions one more time are sitting, listening, receiving the information as it is given, simply nodding. That's it. Do you know how dangerous that is? You know, the Bible connects hearing with our heart and salvation in the closest fashion. The Bible tells us in the scriptures in Romans 10 and 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In the simple fact that Jesus said these words, consider what you hear, it should wake us up to the great possibility that he is implying that we need to filter, because there is a great danger of us receiving something in our ears that will damage more than our simple person, but it will come to darken our soul. So it's calling for us a self-discipline, a certain bravery and knowledge and discernment, that when you receive a word, as you even are today, for whatever reason you are getting it, you need to be careful and considerate, because it doesn't matter where it comes from or under what motivation, it could be contrary to the will of God in your life. I think some of you are missing this. Are you getting this? I know it's tough. Now, I'm not talking to you to get you paranoid and filtering everybody around you and being critical of everyone who speaks into your life. But what I am saying is that we do have to show great care, especially when it comes to spiritual things. You know, we're surrounded by people who love us. I'm surrounded by people that love me. And not only here at church, but even outside amongst family members and friends. Every one of you is surrounded by people that love you. And I know this principle does not sound that divine, but let me tell you how it can get difficult if I can. Because of the simple fact that we are surrounded by people that love us, we're always willing to help our loved ones. Amen? Isn't that true? What do you do when someone comes to tell you, hey man, how you doing? Hey, all right, yeah, you all right? Well, you know, I'm going through this. What's the first thing that happens in that relationship? Information. Right? That's the first thing you offer. What happened? No, I'm having trouble with this. Well, have you tried doing this and do the other? Why don't you call this guy? He'll fix that and the other. Have you tried doing this? We always do it, and I'll use the term in good faith. We do it with good reason, because you want to help somebody. You're going through something in your life that could be spiritual, and you're going to find those people who will love you around, and they're not going to do it with ill intent, but they're going to want to embrace you, and they're going to offer you information concerning that issue. Where it becomes difficult is that the scripture here demands that even then you filter the things you receive as gospel. Because it could be, very possibly be, not because they're ungodly, not because they're heathens and they're trying to hurt you, not because of that reason, but it could be contrary to the response of your issue that God has. Are you following me now? Are you really following me now? that I could try to help you, and in all my goodness, I helped you wrong. Make sense? What happened? Well, it got worse. Gosh, well, and I thought it would work. I mean, what? I didn't mean any ill. No, I know you didn't, man. It's all right. Well, what did you tell him? Well, I told him that, I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, and the point being that it may come from someone you love. And again, the desire is good to help you. But depending on that issue, is it the answer that God wants you to hear? The only one who is going to find that out is the one who filters it through the knowledge of God's word. This is what Jesus is saying. That we should always be aware that our lives in the Lord are always being worked on. We're always going through things in our lives. When you're going through something in your marriage, you're going to get counseling from friends that want to help you. But is it the right thing? Not that you're going to stand there and say, well, I don't receive that, this and the other. No, no. But you have to have discernment. And all of that is going to come through you knowing the will of God, knowing God's word. This is why we remind you from this pulpit many times and times again, read the word of God. You'll find out that whenever you receive counseling, you'll find out if it's in line with what God would do. That could taint your faith. You could go and respond to the advice of anyone and words you receive from anyone in good faith and do it, and nothing will happen. Because you did not take time to filter it and say, Father, that's a really good idea. And you know what? It probably really would help me if I did this. And I know they love me and they're helping me this way. But Lord, is that what you want? Because ultimately we know that that which the Lord ordains, He shall perfect and it will work for you. Careful with what you hear. It teaches us the importance of receiving and avoiding good and bad counsel. I mean, you may need somebody to counsel you how to fix your bicycle or fix your computer. I get it. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're talking about faith. When it comes to spiritual things, you always have to be on the alert. Why? Because that speaks to your soul. The responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, that one has when you stand behind a pulpit. And this I'm not talking because God has given me that call for the past close to 40 years of my life. But you know how much I tremble from my knees. Every time I take time to read something, learn something, discern something, pray over something, just to share it with you. You know why? Because I'm not just speaking to my friends and my family, but I'm speaking to your soul. You're receiving this information as gospel. You're receiving, even if you're ignoring me this morning and balancing your checkbook or checking your text, you're still listening to something I'm saying. Yeah, because I saw some of you guys just checking your text. But as soon as I said that you went like this, that means you're listening. But do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about achieving and getting to a point where we can truly have trust in God. We want God to move. I want a faith that moves mountains. I want a faith that when I offer a petition, I'm not in the way and keeping God from responding to what I want Him to respond to. So I'm going to look at my faith and how I offer my faith unto God and make sure it's the kind of faith He wants me to offer Him. When you receive wonderful faith, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of good counselors on our pulpits today. We have a lot of motivational speakers on our pulpits today. And people need that. People love motivation. Anyone could sit in front of a good motivator and just hear it and how you can do it and how you this and how you're able and how you're capable. Get out there. You're a champion. You can keep going and be motivated and motivated and motivated, and never give you an ounce of true knowledge on how to find pleasure in God. Never give you true counsel, biblical counsel, on how to bring in pleasure to the heart of God with your life. But you will become the best entrepreneur. You'll become the best businessman. You'll have the most successful this and the most successful that. And I can preach to you and motivate you and give you all the books and readings and writings and famous quotes from people who are successful in this world and never give you an ounce of true knowledge that will prosper your soul. But yet you'll have millions of people sitting there going, I believe this is why we have that scripture that says, what will it profit a man to gain his soul, to gain the world and yet lose his soul? Amen? Because we can stand here and counsel you and show you how. I can get good businessmen to come and tell you, those of you who are starting businesses and have business, how to reconcile your checkbooks and how to make your profits add up. But they'll never speak to your soul. We can get all kinds of marriage counselings up here and all these things that are necessary. They're good. But if that's what you rely on alone, it'll never feed your relationship with God. And so we always here need to be careful, because your ears are connected to the quality of your faith. Your ears are connected to the quality of your faith. How many of us have we met in life that said, well, I believe because I heard somebody say, or I did this because I heard somebody offer this. And yet there's no filter in their lives, no biblical filter in their lives to be able to look at that counsel and say, is this the way God works? My desire is that the Lord bless you. The only way to be able to filter such advice is, ladies and gentlemen, hear it clearly. Know God's word. Know God's word. Because you'll receive anything as truth. And not everything is truth. Not everything will move. Goodwill and good desire and nice hearts and good advice will never move the hand of God. Never. There's nothing that will manipulate the hand of God except the kind of faith that He expects us to have in Him. That's where we want to go. That's where we've been leading. The Bible teaches in Proverbs 24 and 6, for by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory. In wise guidance, you can win a war. When you know the truth and you filter the knowledge that you receive, you're able to conquer great things in your life. God will move in your behalf. How many of us want God to move on our behalf? I said, how many really want us to move, want God to move in your behalf? Then let's offer Him that kind of faith. It's not enough for us to say, have faith and pray. It's always important for us to look at the kind of faith we offer as we pray.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.